there were days in that year after where it wasn't okay, and I wasn't okay, and could have easily gone the other way. And now, 4 or 5 years later, we see God in those moments, but in that moment, you don't see God,
right?
You know, and so it takes years and still days where it's very hard, but it takes years to see that, okay, God, maybe there were little things in her death that are now okay. Like, look at all the families we're able to help. And but in the moment, and for those families going through it, that it is okay to not be okay.
That's Julie Rochelle, and she and her husband Chris join us today on Focus on the Family. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
You know, John, having a baby is a time of great excitement and joy, but sometimes things don't go as well as we'd hope. And what should be an exciting time turns into a devastating experience. Tears of joy turn to tears of grief. But in the midst of it all, you know, God is there. He's in that valley with us. He shows up, reminding us of the beautiful miracle of life, no matter how brief it may be. I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses in the scripture, Psalm 34:18, and it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit." If you've suffered the loss of a pregnancy or an infant, or maybe you know someone who has, we want to help you find hope and healing in community and in Christ. And our guests today have just that story.
They do. And as I introduce them, let me just remind you that Focus on the Family is here to help. If we can be of any service to you, we have caring Christian counselors and resources. We'd be happy to connect you with whatever might serve you. So give us a call. Our number is 800-A-FAMILY, or the link is in the episode notes. And as I mentioned, Chris and Julie Rochelle are with us. They have a ministry called Faith 45 to help families through pregnancy and infant loss. And they're from Holland, Michigan, and have two young children, Elliot and Sophie.
Chris and Julie, that's great to have you here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
How long were you married before you learned you were going to be parents?
So it was about 4 years.
4 years,
yep. 4 years.
So 4 years in, and you realize you're pregnant, obviously. You did the test, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And about 20 weeks, you go in for the ultrasound. What did you discover?
Well, at our normal, just 20-week ultrasound, it was very exciting and all of the first-time feels, obviously. And then we didn't really know. Our pediatrician was a little bit, or my OB was a little bit worried. And so she's like, you know, we're going to send you to a specialist, which, of course, as first-time parents, you're like, what? A specialist? So we had to go to Grand Rapids, and we found out that she was quite sick. She wasn't moving as much as she should have been, like a normal baby, and just a lot of abnormalities.
So now at 20 weeks, you get this diagnosis. You still have a long way to go. What were those conversations like? What were you saying to God?
You went through a lot of range of emotions. Every emotion that you could come up with a definition for is essentially what I personally went through, from anger to, you know, hope and faith and frustration and literally just yelling at him out loud. I remember going into the back. We live right next to a playground, and they have a big hill, and I went to the top of that, and I just was screaming at him, and I was probably waking up neighbors, but I just didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to get to a point of, okay, yes, science says she is sick. Science says that she probably won't survive very long, but my God is greater than science, so now we just start praying. And we pray that we know something is going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Julie, I'm trying to, you know, we each have our vantage point in that moment. And there Chris is in the night yelling from the top of a hill. And I'm sure you're seeing him struggle. How is that translating into your own struggle, seeing your husband struggle so much?
It was crazy. Like, it's just so many emotions that you never expect, especially as first-time parents. I mean, you never expect that. And we definitely learned throughout the next 20 weeks and really years after that, like, we grieve very differently. And as men and women, as husband and wife, we grieve very differently. So it was hard for me, but I think I'm more focused on me and what I needed in that moment. And I don't know how to describe it, but we just kind of grieved separately and then kind of grieved together. So mm-hmm. I feel like you really more took care of me than I took care of you, I think.
Yeah.
And really what the doctors after the 20-week checkup were telling you was basically your baby most likely would not survive outside the womb. Is that?
Yeah, they were shocked she had made it 20 weeks, to mm-hmm. be honest. So,
and
yeah,
what
they
was
said,
the diagnosis?
Trisomy 13.
Okay.
Yep.
Let me ask you, for the person, you know, that may wobble on this. They have a faith in Christ. I don't want to judge that at all. But here they have a medical diagnosis and, you know, they've been told the baby is not going to survive, may not survive even in utero, in the womb. How do you talk to friends that might be experiencing that, that are considering terminating that baby because of the, you know, the weeks of carrying that child? I don't know what that would be like, Julie, to carry
yeah,
a child it, that you know
I mean,
is
was,
not going to live.
It was tough. It was definitely a very hard 20 weeks to keep that faith. And
mm-hmm. yeah, and I think, you know, once you get to that point of, depending on where you are, deciding to have an abortion or not, if you do go the route of abortion, you're essentially taking God out of everything.
Exactly.
You're saying, okay, you couldn't do anything, so now me, who you created, is going to take matters into my own hands. And that's never going to be the answer for me, because why would I want to, I don't want to put God on the bench. I want him as a starter in all
well,
the time.
I so appreciate that. And you're a young couple, and I'm just so encouraged that you have that conclusion. As you move through the pregnancy, you come to the birth moment. I mean, I can't imagine, Julie and Chris, what emotions had to be going through.
It was
knowing this is oddly, the experience is happy, but the outcome is not going to be happy.
Yeah.
How did you process that? And what was that moment like?
It was, I remember it vividly. I was at work and my water broke and it was like, okay, here we go. And it was early, but it was, I mean, she had made it to 37 weeks, which they never thought was possible. So I was like, no, this isn't supposed to happen yet, but she's made it to 37 weeks. So it was just so many different emotions of, yeah, excitement and mm-hmm. just terrifying,
right.
just everything in between. So,
yeah. How about you?
Yeah, Chris? I was in a meeting with a bunch of other youth pastors because I was a youth pastor at the time. And I was like, all right, here we go. Say a prayer. Whoop. And then there I went.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it always comes back to faith. That whole time, I did not think in my heart of hearts that she wasn't going to live. There was never a moment where I threw in the towel. Up until they gave the, you know, time of death, I was fully anticipating her being fine.
So she's born. Describe that. You know, physically, what was that experience? How long did she live? And what were you feeling in that moment? I mean, you see your baby and...
It was kind of like a hurry up and wait moment because like a lot of first-time parents, it was 26 hours of labor. So mm-hmm. it was... And that whole time, not knowing whether she was going to be alive, you know?
Right.
So that was... It was just a...
Yeah, she literally could have passed at any moment.
Yep.
During,
sure.
While we were in the hospital, so...
Yep. And we later found out that she actually was born without a heartbeat, but what was it, milliseconds later,
yeah.
she gasped for breath and mm-hmm. she was alive for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. 45
so,
minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yep.
you had 45 minutes with her in that hospital mm-hmm. room and I could see that emotion in you.
Made little cooing sounds, actually you know, opened her eyes, which was, I mean, it's indescribable. And then that comes back to, you know, God did what we had prayed for originally.
Yeah.
It shifted at some point from God have her live and live a long life. At some point while she was still in the womb, it switched to more of a your will be done mm-hmm. sort of scenario.
That's well, a step
it, yeah,
in maturity.
It was, for me, it was like, just let us meet her.
Yeah.
You know, that she's born, that we can spend some time with her.
Mm-hmm.
So. And
man.
He gave us that. So.
Yeah.
I so appreciate your mama's heart. I mean, I thought that would be there. These are tough things to go through. And yet I think the perspective that you have is so right on. I mean, this is all in God's hands. You can't control it, but you have to have faith in it. I'm sure he was pleased with that faithfulness that you had, that desire to please him. Mm. Julie, I'm sorry, I keep coming back to you. I can imagine your little child in heaven with the Lord. I mean, do you ever think of those thoughts?
Oh, yes, every day. Every day. We lost another little one in 2019, and it's like the only thing that got me through was knowing that those two little girls are together in heaven, fully healed, fully healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and when I, again, I so appreciate what I'm hearing from you is your, it seems like your faith in God has not wavered. A lot of people would struggle with this.
There were moments.
Yeah.
And there still are.
It's never going to go away.
It seems like it hasn't taken your faith in God away.
I mean, it was almost like it had to be a decision of like, I'm so angry that you could go either way of completely going away from your faith or it, for us, being the only thing that got us through those days.
Right.
We were standing on a razor's edge at one point and we were going to fall one way or the other.
Boy, and for the, that's where I wanted to take this in terms of those couples that fall in the other direction where their anger and their bitterness is so understandably deep. You know, when you lose a child like this, I mean, all the why questions that you have. Why couldn't it have gone a different way? Why shouldn't it have gone a different way? Lord, we're faithful to you. We believe in you. We live our lives for you. How come you would do this? I mean, those are big questions, no matter what your moment is. Loss of a child, loss of a marriage, you know, fill in the blank. And this is a really important teaching moment about staying faithful to God, even in that crisis, even if you have the valleys and you have to have that shouting match with them.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think I want to hear, if you can, speak to those other people that fall in the other direction on that knife's edge.
Yeah. It. When you talk about the people on the razor's edge falling one way or the other, the beautiful thing about our God is if you fall the wrong way, he's there to catch you and then help carry you back up. Wow. It's not going to be, he's not going to catch you and throw you over to the other side right away or let you fall. He's going to be there to catch you, hold on to you, and then journey with you back until it's not a, you're never going to get to a point where you're like, okay, I think I'm good now. Like everything's going to be fine from here on out. I'm essentially over whatever the loss is, whether that's a marriage or, you know, a spouse or a child. It's going to be a lifetime journey.
Right.
And well, he's just always going to be there with you to help you back to where we need to be.
I think it's hard, too, because we say this 4 or 5 years later. But there were days in that year after where it wasn't okay and I wasn't okay and could have easily gone the other way. And now, 4 or 5 years later, we see God in those moments. But in that moment, you don't see God.
Right.
You know, and so it takes years and still days where it's very hard, but it takes years to see that, okay, God, maybe there were little things in her death that are now okay. Like, look at all the families we're able to help. And but in the moment, and for those families going through it, that it is okay to not be okay.
Yeah, that's really good.
And if you're in a journey of darkness and you're not sure where God is in all of this, if you're feeling very alone, give us a call, reach out to us, let us know how Focus on the Family can help. We have caring Christian counselors and we can set up a time of consultation for you. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family, or stop by the episode notes. The link is right there in the show notes.
So you spent that 45 minutes with her, that bonding, I can't imagine. I mean, you're bonding with her. That moment that she passes away. I mean, what did the two of you do right at that moment? Hug each other?
Oh, man.
I think we kind of knew. The doctor didn't come in until about an hour after she was born and then told us, you know, she is gone. But we kind of knew at the 45-minute mark, that, or around 45 minutes, that it was like, okay, you know, she's gone to be with the Lord now. So. Yeah.
I think and we. Then, I think it was just you and me and her laying on the hospital bed, just in silence, and in a weird feeling of peace. Actually, kind of in that moment, it wasn't. There was no anger ever. It was just like, this is our family now.
Right.
However different it's going to look, this is our family now. And
hard to be angry when there's just a perfect little girl.
Yeah.
There was a book that really helped you in the grieving process. What was that book and how did it help you?
It's called I Will Carry You by Angie Smith. Mm. It was just incredible. They have a similar story. Found out that their baby was very sick at 20 weeks. So it was just such a similar story. And she's just an amazing writer, how it's just you feel like you're right there with her. And a song that was written for their daughter called I Will Carry You by Selah. Mm-hmm. Amazing song. It was sang at Faith's funeral and just an incredible book. I think the like subtitle of the book is The Sacred Dance of Joy and Grief. And it's like just that in and of itself of like, it's okay to be joyful. Mm-hmm. She was born. She lived. It was a miracle. God gave us our miracle and time with her mm-hmm. and be able to meet her. But man, was there a lot of grief too. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I want to move to the next time you're pregnant. I mean, I know people just went, what? I mean, you have to face these fears again.
Sure do.
And what happened in that situation?
It was a day-to-day struggle, a day, everyday choice. Every morning I remember waking up and saying, we have to choose joy. We have to choose to trust God every day. And I think the hardest thing that I can speak for both of us was that 20-week ultrasound.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because that's where we found out she was sick, and we went back to that same specialist, and it was like literally holding our breath the whole time.
And what happened?
And he was perfectly healthy.
He was fine. Yeah.
And but even hearing that, it's still every day until he was born. And, you know, even after that, it's just you just have to trust God that we will be okay if whatever happens.
Yeah.
So
talk about Faith 45.
Yeah, that was.
And how did that decision happen? And
it was a while. It was a long
while. About 2 years.
Yeah.
After.
Well, that doesn't sound very long, actually. 2 years.
Yeah.
But you. I mean, obviously the motivation was there. But what does Faith 45 do? Who do you engage, and why do they engage you?
Yeah. So we reach out and help families dealing with miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. So any one of those three horrible things, we provide support and encouragement for those families. Kids, mothers, dads. And the main way that we do that is we send them faith boxes. You can either order one yourself or a friend can order one for you. It's full of different things as far as resources, books. The I Will Carry You book is in there, some journals, some candles, different things in there to
stuff
help
that
you with the journey.
Us with our grief.
Well, we'll link with that can connect to Faith 45 in that way. Let me finish the story, though. We only have a few minutes, and I want to make sure people hear what's happened. And so you had Elliot, and that went well, and then you were pregnant again.
Yep.
Same emotions, or was it different?
Same emotions.
Time?
I would say it really
still
is.
Worried,
yep.
But hopeful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what happened with that pregnancy?
10 weeks, no heartbeat. That was our sweet little Esther up in heaven with Faith. Yep. So
wow. And then again, you did.
Yep.
And that's great. I mean, I'm so encouraged that it didn't derail your desire to be parents. I mean, that's another outcome of this where I think particularly young couples give up.
Yeah.
Because especially with faith in Christ, they're saying, okay, what? Maybe we're not meant to have children. Let's buy a dog. I mean, I'm so tired of that. Kids are a blessing from the Lord, and I'm so grateful that you kept trying.
It's the number one thing I've always wanted to be.
You did lose that
mom.
Child. with your third child, how did that process go? Was it a different process from Faith, even though you lost that child as well?
It was different because it was earlier, but it was a lot of the same emotions. I mean,
yeah, it was. We went to the normal doctor's appointment pregnant, and we left, and we weren't anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
And with Faith, there was a whole lot of other stuff that had to be done. Funeral arrangements and, you know, carrying for 37 weeks, that's huge. And there's like baby stuff in the house. With Esther, it was
just
we didn't have to do anything. She was there and then she wasn't.
Yeah.
Do you think in some ways with Esther, what you had to go through with Faith that made that more understandable emotionally?
I think it helped me knowing that. With Faith, yes, Jesus was there receiving her, showing her around. But there's something different about being able to be shown around by your big sister that I thought was very cool and
that's
comforting to me. Yeah, seriously, I'm just like, I don't know how old you are when you go to heaven or whatnot, but I got to imagine Faith's a little older because that's just how it is. And just walking around like, hey, look at this. Hey, look over here.
Yeah.
This is really cool. I mean, that's just
that puts
that's
a smile
how I like
on your
to
face.
It does. It does. Yeah. And so I think that that eased it a little bit.
I feel like the grief process was a little different, though, because we didn't have a funeral, you know, because we didn't get that closure almost. You know, it was very sudden of just like, I am not pregnant anymore. Right. And it's early that, so we hadn't told a lot of people, but it was just, it was different. Right. But the grief was still the same,
yeah.
You know?
No, that's good to hear. And then number four,
yep.
Your fourth child. Tell us that story.
Oh, yep. This is a story. Go for it, Julie.
Great. She was healthy the whole pregnancy. It was a dream pregnancy. It really was. God blessed us with that. And she just made her very sudden entrance into the world, emergency C-section. So that was an experience
really?
In and of itself.
Yeah, a little bit early? Or?
No, 2 days early, but she just wanted to be here. And so, but she once she was born, she had a blood transfusion right away and was completely healthy.
Okay. Yeah. And she's doing well.
She's doing great.
So you have
she really is.
Yes. Two here on earth and two in heaven.
That's what we always say.
That's what we say.
Yep.
You know, as we close here, speak to the mom and dad who maybe just received in the last few days a similar diagnosis that their baby most likely won't live outside the womb or however that is unfolding for them. They're feeling frightened, angry like you on the top of that hill, Chris, when you're shouting out to God. They're not sure what to do. Obviously, one thing they can do is come to your website, Faith 45, and again, we'll link to that. What would you say to encourage them in this moment? It almost sounds like a drop of water onto a hot frying pan. But what would that drop of water from you be?
I would say this isn't surprising God. It's not like he didn't know this was going to happen. Let your emotions be what they're going to be.
Be honest.
Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your spouse. What you need from them. If you need to take a couple minutes just to sit in a room by yourself, do it. That's okay. Yeah. Don't listen to anybody else. There's a ton of people who are going to voice their opinion. Just don't listen to them. Just pray.
Have that experience? A lot of people came up to you to tell you what they thought theologically about your baby.
Heaven just needed another angel. They have enough, A, and B, that's not how it happens. Right. We don't become angels. So it's like, don't tell me things like that.
Wow. That's a good message.
And that's why we do faith boxes so we can show support and encouragement, because a lot of times you don't know what to say, especially if you've never gone through it. So that's why this was a big push for us to do that.
Well, and I think part of the faith boxes too is, and to answer your question, what my two things would be, it's okay to not be okay. Like, it is, every emotion you're feeling is okay. God can handle it. And then for those supporting people getting those, is that it's okay to not say anything. Like, so much of it is just sit there with them, cry with them. Don't feel like you have to say the right thing, because it's probably not going to be the right thing. And it's the most supportive thing is just be there for them. And if you don't know what to say, that's where our faith boxes came in, of like, here's something tangible that you can do for a family. And then out of that, I'm just going to quick plug our mentorship program too. We decided to start a mentoring program. It's all done electronically, of someone that just can send a text, who has, all of our mentors have gone through loss, so they get it. And it's just sending a mom a text of like encouragement, a Bible verse, I'm here for you, someone just to listen who gets it. Because so many people in your life might not get it, or they may think they get it or try to get it, and they just don't.
That sounds like what the body of Christ should be. Right? No matter what the problem. But it's so great to hear. And again, I'm so encouraged. You're a young couple. I love it. I love your vibrancy in Christ and your faithfulness in him. It gives me hope for the future. We can see a lot of things on the landscape and kind of, but I mean, I just really am encouraged by you both. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for having us.
So good.
It's been a blast. Thank you so much.
What a powerful conversation with Chris and Julie Rochelle today on Focus on the Family. And the story of their little daughter, Faith, is so touching.
It is. And while it's difficult, I love how God redeemed that story and has given them a beautiful way to minister to other moms and dads walking through the grief and devastation of miscarriage and infant loss. If you've experienced that loss, I hope you'll get in touch with us. We have numerous resources to help you, including the book Julie and Chris mentioned. It's called I Will Carry You by Angie Smith. You know, the crucial moment in Chris and Julie's story was that 20-week ultrasound. That's when they learned little Faith was not healthy. And when they received the reassurance that their subsequent children, Elliot and Sophie, were doing well.
Yeah, ultrasound is such an amazing technology that makes such a difference in someone's heart when it comes to abortion. So often when a mom gets a glimpse of her baby for the first time on that screen, dads too, for that matter, it is a special moment.
Yes, it is. And over 54% of women who have counseling and that ultrasound choose life. And that's one reason we celebrate and honor life with our annual See Life events. In fact, in May, we'll start a 12-week digital journey that will culminate with a live simulcast event on June 14th at the Focus on the Family campus. And that's also why we established our Option Ultrasound program. Through that program, mothers considering abortion can meet the baby growing inside of them and hear that precious heartbeat. Your financial support equips pregnancy medical centers with a equipment and training to provide free ultrasounds to mothers considering abortion. Since the beginning of the Option Ultrasound program in 2004, the number of babies saved is estimated to be more than 480,000. But so many more lives are on the line. Every $60 you give will help save a baby from abortion through our Option Ultrasound program. And when you donate a gift of any amount, we'll send you a copy of that book by Angie Smith, I Will Carry You, as our way of saying thank you for seizing this pro-life moment and saving babies.
Learn more about See Life 2022 coming up in June, our live simulcast, and donate to Option Ultrasound. Get your copy of that book by Angie Smith, I Will Carry You. All the details are on our website. The link is in the show notes, and then you can call us as well, 800, the letter A, and the word family. Well, coming up tomorrow, Cherry Fuller gives some tips on connecting with your grandchildren.
Connect with them of something they like to do, not so much that you like to do. It could be going to a movie. It could be taking them to their very favorite restaurant. I mean, you can reach their hearts through their stomach. You still can.
On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
Hi, I'm Jim Daly. The Supreme Court will soon make a significant decision on abortion. How will this impact you? Join me and other pro-life champions, including Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, on June 14th for Focus on the Family's See Life 2022 live stream. Find out how you can respond to this important pro-life moment. Sign up at focusonthefamily.com/seelife. That's focusonthefamily.com/seelife.